Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a gift it is to be able to gather here to sing your praises. What a joy it is to be able to gather here and receive the gifts of grace that you have prepared for us. Lord, what a gift it is to be able to look at Jesus and see him as Savior, to be able to hear your word and hear it as truth. May you speak to our hearts and minds this day according to your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a familiar phrase in our world called the downstream effect. Probably know what that means, but it can be really easily illustrated by taking a child, and they'll get like a paper boat or a play toy boat, and they place it on a stream or a river, something that has current. What happens to that boat? Goes downstream, right? Pretty simple concept. It goes to wherever that current pushes it, and then when it gets there, it has some kind of effect on it, either positive or negative on that environment. Let's look at a second example, maybe something a little less gentle. You have a factory producing some product beside a river, and it has some runoff from it, some kind of byproduct from that production, and it pours it into the river. Where does that content go? Downstream. That current carries it. Now, if that water's clean, no worries. It's just more water, right? But if that water is polluted, it can have a profound impact on the environments that it comes to, sometimes generational. That pollution goes downstream and it kills vegetation, kills animals, makes people sick. Eventually, folks move out of that region and that little place on earth dies. Are there downstream effects in our daily lives, how we live? Absolutely. Our interactions, our relationships with each other absolutely have a downstream effect. Just look at a parent raising a child. What that parent teaches that child or models for that child has a downstream effect on the life of that child. Look at our relationships and our interactions with each other. The things we say and do definitely have a downstream effect. The words we speak, the actions we take, the things we prioritize communicate something to the world. Sometimes it's not even verbal. Sometimes just our behaviors and our mannerisms communicate certain things downstream to other people. You could argue that we have a downstream effect on pretty much everything we do in our lives, some big, some really small. When we think about it, it's kind of impressive how much of an impact we can have on the world around us. So we come to our story this morning from Joshua. So Joshua, we're dropped into the last chapter of Joshua. And as I read this, I thought downstream effect is occurring here. So Joshua, he called together God's people, the tribes of Israel, calls them forward. They all gather and they present themselves before God. And God, using Joshua as his mouthpiece, says to the people, "Long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods." The end of that sentence is the key, right? They served other gods. The ancestors of God's people at this time had set a terrible precedent. They'd worshipped idols. They'd worshiped dead objects, things, theories, ideas about stuff, instead of the one true living God. And this is serious first commandment stuff, right? God is serious about this. And it was having a downstream effect on his people. So God does some memory work for them. We didn't hear it read, but verses 3 through 12. God does some reminding for his people. He reminds them of what he's done for them. He said, "I brought you out of Egyptian slavery. I kept you alive when the Egyptian army was chasing you down. I gave you food to eat and sustained your life in the wilderness. Then I gave you victory in battle and war over 8 different groups of people." And if we look at these things, these are not things that the Israelites were going to do on their own. Try as you may, people, you're not getting out of slavery. You're not running from that army. You're definitely not feeding yourself out in that barren land. And you're not winning those wars over those people that were more gifted than you at battle. And then God sums it all up in verse 13. He said to them, I gave you a land on which you had not labored and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. God's saying to his people, look around you. Look back in time. Look at all that good that you have in your life. I, God, gave that to you. So it makes sense what we heard read in verse 14. The verse we had that skip from 1 to 2, we jumped to 14. It makes sense what it said in 14. In 14, Joshua said, now that you know all this, and I've reminded you of all this, therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Joshua was saying, serve the Lord God Almighty, who has shown you that he is in fact God Almighty by the things he showed you, the things he made happen in your life. And he's also showed you that he loves you. But Joshua also knows the power of precedent, right? That downstream effect of that precedent that was set by the fathers, by the ancestors, had trickled down to the Israelites, and he was making an impact in their life. So Joshua gives it to him straight. He says to him in verse 15, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Choose. And I love how the Lutheran Study Bible, I live in the footnotes of the Lutheran Study Bible, I love how it captured this and explained this. Those footnotes explain this text by saying, this is like saying to a hungry person, if you reject this banquet of delicacies, you may choose between garbage and dung. Straight to the point. Joshua's not telling the people, hey, you have these two choices between idols that are good choices. No, he's saying they're all bad for you. They're toxic for your life. They're eventually going to kill you. Worship of false gods corrupts the soul, and it eventually leads to spiritual death. And idolatry is one of those things that creeps in slowly. It's like this stealth-like fashion, but once it gets rooted in, it kills. Which means there is a profound downstream impact in my life and the lives of those around me from idolatry. It's like that factory that poured the toxins into the water. Once it got into that water, it killed at the source. Vegetation, animals, people. And then it goes where? Miles downstream. And as it goes downstream, mile to mile, it kills, it kills, it kills, it kills. If I'm worshiping something other than God, it will eventually lead to my spiritual death. And it runs the tremendous risk of leading to the spiritual death of people around me, especially the younger generations that are looking at me and you for direction. Now today, we don't have these gods of the Amorites, right? It's kind of hard to relate back to that gods of the Amorites that they were struggling with. But today, we still have a lot of things that are objects of worship in front of us. And they're sneaky. They're deceptive things. They're otherwise decent things. But what happens is we get so wrapped around them that we take God and we push God aside and we center our lives on it. Things like technology, things like making money, sports achievement, career advancement, climbing that ladder, social popularity, political positioning, and probably the worst of all, my own personal opinion. Anything that consumes our lives and centers our hearts on it instead of God, anything that takes God and pushes him to a back corner or just pushes him out of our life altogether is an object of worship. And here is the real deal truth. Younger generations are looking at us. Younger generations are being impacted by the precedent we are setting today. Which means we also have this amazing opportunity to set a good precedent for them. When we center Jesus in our lives, when we put our focus on him in our lives, we are setting a profound, positive, downstream effect on younger generations. And I would argue the effect is even greater than the negative idolatry, because the positive of worshiping Jesus Christ alone has the power of the Holy Spirit pushing it like this tsunami wave till it reaches its destination. Now, right before Joshua gave the people the opportunity to talk, he said this one last sentence. And it's a profound sentence. You probably have it in your house. I have it in my house somewhere. He said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That means that the Israelites and Joshua, they had a choice, right? Serve the Lord or serve some garbage over here. Same choice today, same word of God. We have a choice to serve the Lord or a choice to serve some junk. God has told us very clearly, one leads to eternal, real, tangible life in peace. The other leads to real, tangible death, eternal death. The younger ones, the next generation, they're absolutely looking naturally to us now to know what is the best path forward. And it may not seem like it, those of you with teenagers. It may not seem like it at all. They may be kind of undercover doing that kind of side glance thing. But younger generations absolutely look to older generations for the example of what is the best path in life. And we as disciples today, as you sit here today, you are sitting in that best path of life. We know without a doubt that Christ Jesus, worshiping Christ Jesus, faith in him as the one true Savior, is the best path for this life and the only path that leads to eternal life. It's Christ and Christ alone. Now, if we look back at our story, those Israelites, when Joshua gave them an opportunity to talk, the first thing they said was, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For it was the Lord our God who brought us out of Egypt. It was the Lord our God who brought us out of slavery. It was the Lord our God who did all these signs for us over this time. Far be it from us today in our own lives that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord God who brought you and me out of darkness into light. It is the Lord God who adopted you and me to be heirs to his eternal kingdom. It is the Lord God that looks at you and says, I love you as my dearly beloved child. It is the Lord God that walks with you day after day after day, going through trials and troubles and struggles. And it is the Lord God who has promised you that you are going to be with him forever. Far be it from us to follow any other gods than the Lord God Almighty." Now, it's worth mentioning, we're not going to be perfect at this, right? I know it, you know it, God knows it. Think back to those Israelites. After they said, "Far be it from us to serve any other gods," what did they do? They served other gods. They went back to their sin. When we trip up, when we set a bad example that goes downstream and has some kind of effect, all is not lost. In those moments when that happens, we turn back to God. We confess our sins to him. In that very moment, you receive his full and complete forgiveness. And we say, "Lord, please guide me." And then we get back in the game. We go back out in the world reflecting Christ, because we know that we have a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God that forgives. What an awesome privilege we have every day to be a testament to this gospel love. What an awesome opportunity we have to go out every day and set this foundation of Christ in our own lives, so that when our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, when they look up back at that family tree, all they see is a bunch of people pointing to Jesus. Bunch of people pointing to Jesus. What a great opportunity to highlight him with our lives as the Savior, as our Lord, as God Almighty in the flesh, and as the one who will welcome us into eternal life with God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us a part of your family. And Lord, as we go about living in this broken world, may your Holy Spirit strengthen us. When we wander off, may your Holy Spirit pull us back to you, to confess to you, so that you may restore us. May your Holy Spirit strengthen us until we arrive finally through Christ in your eternal kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.